Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Unshakable Jesus, you will always remain. That is a timeless album by our very own Pastor Simone Bracken Benoit. You could go look it up. It's called Journey of Pursuit. I would encourage all of you to get it. Miss Monique has her album out too, and Monique Richardson, such great talent in this house, and timeless songs, original songs. What is the name of Monique's? It's called Good News. Okay, Good News. Look that up on all the music sites and download those and support these awesome artists in our house. I've entitled the message today, Unshaken Faith. Unshaken Faith. This message is from a series I did last year. And it was called, what did I call it? Unshakable. I think I called the message the series Unshakable. And I believe it'll probably come out a little different now because of the experience we've all gone through. When I wrote it, I was writing it from the onset of COVID and all of the shaking and everything that was going on in the world. And I was writing it to give you tools to walk through that season, and we're still walking through it. There's a lot going on in our world. As an unshakable believer, and to prepare you. But I want to commend you today. And it's one thing to prepare you and get you ready to do it, but I want to commend you because I have seen you do it. And some of you are right in the middle of that right now, and I want to just fortify you with the word of God. I asked the Lord this morning, what do you want me to tell them? What should they know, and what do you want them to do? And the Lord said, tell him, good job, and he wants you to keep doing what you've been doing. Because a lot of you have been tested in your faith. And I looked up this term, unshaken faith, and it means this. You still have faith, although your beliefs have been attacked or challenged. By a show of hands, how many of you in the last year have had your beliefs attacked and challenged? I don't think there's one person in this room that kept their hand down, and if you did, you just didn't feel like lifting it up. Because I didn't say you've lost your faith or, you know, your faith is weak. I just said it's been attacked. This unshaken faith that I'm seeing demonstrated by you here under my leadership, and by a lot of other people that I've been in contact with this last year, is unprecedented. And so I believe God is giving a commendation right now to you and to those in the church that are still rooted and grounded and believing, like the song said this morning, that irregardless of what has happened to the world and is currently going on in the world with such injustice and persecution, and pressure and oppression, you are still walking in faith and believing that a miracle is in the making. And that the church is arising, and this is going to be her finest hour. Amen. And so the four main unshakable things as we review, some of you weren't even here when I preached the full series on this, but I'm really going to focus on the third and fourth unshakable thing, but I want to just come back and give you the full review of what is unshakable. And I want to preface it by saying this. There is scripture that says in Hebrews and other places that there is going to be a shaking that comes upon the earth. Governments will be shook. Economies will be shook. And in fact, the Lord says through the writer, everything that can, emphasis on can, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and only what cannot be shaken will remain. And so you need to make up your mind that, yeah, there's going to be a lot of things shaken. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. But I'm not going to be one of those things that is shaken. And that takes intent. It takes a determination. But it also takes a revelation. And you need to go deep in this season. Who am I at the core of my being? You know, when you walk by a mirror and you look in the mirror, that is not you. That's your house. You are something much deeper than what you see in the mirror. You are a soul. You are a spirit. You are what the world sees as intangible. The world sees your body and says, that's you. But heaven sees the soul and the spirit of who you are and says, that's the part of you that has to remain strong and stay in faith. Your body can be touched by the enemy. Job, the book of Job proves that. Our body can feel the shaking. Many of us have had our body shook. Right? But you can have your body touched by affliction and remain stable and strong and in love with God and know who you are and know where you're going, know where you're from. Amen? And no matter what's going on around you, still set an example for another generation that needs to know how you're doing that and who you're doing it through. So there's four unshakable things, the throne of God, and the scripture's up there. If anybody wants the outline, you can have it. I have more text than time, so I need to move through this, but I don't want to talk like an auctioneer because I just want you to get it. The throne of God. There's a song out right now that says, he's still on his throne. You can't knock him off his throne. He hasn't fallen off his throne. I don't know what all the lyrics are, but you need to know this. God is on his throne. And if he gets up off of it, it's of his own volition. And he may move around heaven, but that throne is stable. And he rules and reigns the entire universe. There's not a government that's in position that he's not aware of. It says in Isaiah that all the governments of the world are on his shoulders. He can think of what's going on in just our government alone. Presidents go in with black hair and a year later they're white-headed because of the stress of all of that. You know, our God can carry everything that's going on in every government of the world and in the universe, right? There are governments beyond the earth that he's aware of. We know that Satan has a government, right? He has all of that on his shoulders, and he's not weary. He's not worried. He's not worn out. He's not shaken out of his position as sovereign. And that's your Lord, who decided that he would come and live and die so that he could post up on the inside of you and make his throne in your heart and position you within his heart and seat you at the right hand of God the Father in all power and authority. And when you come to understand that, you understand, look, there may be a president that gets shook off his throne, but my Lord is still on his. You can clap for that. I mean, I clap for that. He's sovereign of all. And when I know that, I know that leaders will come and go. Sometimes, you know, we have good leaders. Sometimes we have bad ones that we're trying to get out of office. But I do know this. No matter who is in office, God has a plan and a purpose for us that benefits us in that. Did you know that God even raised up Pharaoh in Egypt to put so much pressure on God's people that they would be willing to leave the comfort of discomfort and actually go to the promised land where he was taking them? How many of you know we can get comfortable in dysfunction? And sometimes it takes some kind of tyrant to get us so sick and tired of being comfortable in dysfunction that we decide to move. You'll never move until you get totally fed up with being where you are. Hallelujah. So God even uses the people in our lives that we consider leaders sometimes to transition us into something greater. So the throne of God is unshakable. The word of God is unshakable. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever and ever and ever. And when you anchor your life in the word of God, you are anchoring your life to something that will remain long after the shaking and long after the collapse of things that weren't built upon the solid foundation of God's word are gone. There are people that in our immaturity, we anchored our life to, oh, I need you, I need this, I need that. Listen, if they don't have a relationship with the word of God, you're placing your need into something that can never satisfy you, never take you to the next level, never fortify you. I believe even now God is causing people to take their eyes off the things that they thought they needed and saying, who completes you? Boo and bae don't complete you. They can't make you happy. Only God can do that. Only a life that is anchored in his word can do that. People can make you happier, but they cannot complete you. They cannot make you happy. It is only when your life is secure, securely anchored in the truth of God's word, and you know who you are, you know whose you are, amen, that your life becomes unshakable. The third thing is the church of God. And then the fourth thing is the child of God. And today I want to talk to you, because we are the church. These walls, this building we walk into, this is a building. It is not God's building. We call it the house of God because that's religious Christianese. This building is not the house of God. You are. You are the church. You are his building. And I want to read some text. And you know what? This might become a two-part message depending on how much time I can do this in. But we've given so much credence and attention and awe and wonder to steeples and buildings. And do you know most of those buildings are sitting empty today? Because some fearful leaders stood up and said, you can't go inside those buildings. You can't have church no more. Oh, huh. As they used to say in my neighborhood. You guys know what oh, huh means, right? It means you don't know what I can do. You just told me I can't do something that I can do because I know I can do it. Don't tell me, Miss Pastor Ricky used to say, don't tell me, lady. Oh, huh. It's what you think. The day that a government, earthly government system tells the church they cannot have church or be the church is the day that we have lost our mind. We are the building that God is building. And it says, if God doesn't build the house, we labor in vain. And there is a house that God has been building that no devil, no economy, no government, no devil can dismantle. And that building is going to stand through every storm, every demonic storm, every earthly storm, every natural storm that comes upon this planet. Because God doesn't build junk. He doesn't build things that are going to fall apart. Matthew 16:18 says this, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. This is Jesus speaking. He's telling Peter, here's who you are. Sometimes we need to be told who we are again. As if Peter didn't know. Thou art Peter, and if you look at that in the Greek, it's the word Petrus. You are Petra. He renamed him. And upon this rock, what is the rock? The truth of who I am. Upon the revelation of who I am, Jesus is saying, Everybody around here is coming for miracles. They're coming for all these things that I'm doing, I'm feeding, and none of them really know who I am. And Peter knows. He asked him, who do you say I am, Simon of Bar-Jonah? You know, the son of this person. And before that, it was just known as the son of this other guy. And Jesus says, yeah, that's true, but you're somebody else because you know who I am. He said, you're the son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know what? You said the right thing. You know me as Messiah. You know I am God in the flesh. And upon this revelation or this rock of who I am, He didn't say, hey, Peter, you're going to go out and build the church. Peter also, he helped found the early church, right? He helped get it started. He became the apostle over all of these churches. You know, the chicken Peter that was crying in the back of the place where Jesus was being beaten and denying him becomes this emboldened minister of the gospel. And 3,000 people get filled, saved, and Peter's there on the day of Pentecost when everybody gets filled with the Holy Ghost, and he turns from this chicken to this bold guy that's going to go out and build a church in the face of the people that just crucified his Lord. Jesus just changed him into a whole other person by the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is telling him before that even happens, hey, just because you know who I am, I'm going to build a church. I'm going to build a church based on the revelation of who I am. I'm going to use you. You know, God will even speak to you before your biggest failure to remind you before you even go through it that there's still an assignment after you blow it so bad that you can't even get over yourself, that I still have not changed my mind. I'm going to use you to accomplish what I said I was going to do in the earth realm. And you know what? Many of us have gone through season where we've been in failure. We've been in sadness. We've been in loss. We've been in attack. We've been in all kinds of things. And whether it was our own thing that we did or was what somebody else did to us, you know, we got to get over ourselves in this season and not be shook by what happened or what is currently happening. God still has an assignment for us, and it is an assignment to get this end time harvest in, to get our family members in, to build the church with him, co-labor with him, to get this church where it's supposed to be. And he's not coming for some beat up, bloody, skanky pank bride that don't know who she is, sitting on a bar stool trying to get her man, or some guy drunk down there trying to get him a woman. That, you know what? God's not coming for that. He is your man. He is your woman. He is everything in between. And until you get that right, that, you know, you can't be good for nobody else. Some of you need to be shook off your bar stool and get back into the church. Some of you need to be shook off your church pew. And I'm being good to you this morning. Trust me, I'm being good to you. I'm not beating you up. I'm just telling you, you know, I believe God is shaking us, but he's not shaking us to destroy us. He's trying to wake us up and say, wait a minute, who am I and what am I doing in you right now? And I love what it says. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is that, the gates of hell? It means the gates, it represents a place of going in and coming out. He's just saying whatever comes out of the realm of hell, whatever is coming out of the demonic realm, whatever is coming in, it will not prevail against you. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 3:5 through 17, it says foundations for living, and I always say pay attention to the subtitles because no building will survive a faulty foundation. And I really believe God is shoring up our foundation. I loved Pastor Simone's message last night, last week. I was really impacted by that. I went back and listened to it, and she talked about bigger on the inside. Your foundation is who you are. On the inside, it is the definition of who you are on the inside. And we live in a culture right now that is so materialistic, so misogynistic, so warped that people don't even know what gender to identify with. We can look at our parts and say we're something else. We can identify with something that we're not. There's such a confusion. Don't throw me out of the pulpit because you won't anyways, right? I do not buy into all of that. God is our, and His word is our truth. He's not one of the truths. He is our truth. And if the church is confused about who Jesus is and about who we are in Him, we are going to create an unstable family, and we're going to create an unstable government, and we're going to create unstable, living for those around us. And the Lord is bringing us back, the church. I believe there's revival in the church. He's bringing us back to a place of clarity. Paul begins this passage by saying, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? What does that mean? We see it today. I could say this, who is T.D. Jakes? Who is Beth Moore? Who is Joyce Meyer? Who is Jensen Franklin? Who is Pastor Verna? Who is Bishop Steve? Who is, what's happened is we've become competitive out of insecurity, Pastor Simone. And we elevate people, and we get into little sects. Well, I'm from this group, and I'm from that group. And as we look around the so-called church world today, it's as segregated as it was during, the years when we were coming out of slavery. I mean, you watch the news in the last few days. The whole country has gone mad. Black is white, and white is black. And, there's agendas that are clothed in occultic language, and we as a generation are believing everything the media says, and we tend to align ourselves with different sects and all of these things. And I'm not talking about sexuality. I'm talking about groups and all of this, and there's division. And the Lord says, enough of it. Enough of it. I'm bringing clarity to my church. And Paul is laying it out. He's saying, who's Apollos and who's Paul? He puts himself in there. Just servants through whom you believed in Christ, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was causing the growth. Look, whatever we're doing, if God doesn't cause it to grow, we're DOA. I'm just up here a talking head, blah, 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 every week. Right? There are so-called churches that have grown horizontally, that have no connection vertically. And I love the bride, but I tell every couple, when I put them into covenant, there are three people in this marriage. And if there aren't, you're in trouble. I won't even marry them until there is. And that third is God. Because nothing grows, and without love, we're nothing, right? The love in your life, the glue that holds a covenant together, cannot be present and maintained without a relationship with God. And we have celebrity ministers. I call them pimps in the pulpit, prostitutes in the pulpit, right? They've become media whores. They really have. And they're pimping out the gospel, and it's all about, my success and my influence and my brand and my this. And I have nothing against influence and brand. But if God is not in the equation, what in the heck are you building? You're building up yourself, and it's all going to crumble. It's all going to fall. There's no fruit that's going to remain. God's got to cause the growth. And so Paul goes on, he says, so neither is the one who plants nor the one who waters anything. These aren't the kind of messages we want to hear in church anymore. You're nothing without him. I should preach a sermon called, you're nothing. You're nothing, honey. Nothing, honey, without him. We'll put that on there, right? We got to get back to that. I am nothing without God. I'm just a talking head, a bobblehead at the flea market. It's nothing. It's empty. Without the presence of God, without him, we are going to be shook out of our positions of fame, out of our photoshopped, images on social media that have nothing to do with the reality of who we are behind the scenes. We're all a bunch of hurting people going through things, and we're making it through as conquerors and more than conquerors. We are not photoshopped and airbrushed. We have wrinkles and we have wounds, but we have a healer in our midst that is bringing us through to triumph and victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Yes. She's back and her pants are on fire. I've made it through my grieving season. He has walked me through the valley of the shadow of death. And the nations await this house. And I am going in the spirit and the power of the Most High God, because He is worthy. He is worthy. Thank you for praying me through. But we are nothing without Him. And Paul said, he who plants and he who waters are one in importance and esteem, working toward the same purpose, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So I need you to do what you do. I've got three series going right now. One of them is called Do What You Do. Tim, I need you to do what you do. Both Tim's there. And I love, you know, God is just, He's just blessing us right now with so many spiritual fathers. And that's an answer to my prayers. But I need you, men, to do what you do. I need you to rise up and do what you do. God has called me to this, but, you know, I can't operate in masculine energy and raise up a whole nother generation of boys who can look down at their parts and say, I'm a man, and there's a man, and I know how to live like a man, because that man loves his wife, and that man brings his family to church, and that man, even in his weakest moment, knows how to repent and admit to his family, I need help, I need God, let's get around the table and pray as a family. I need an army of men. We are God's fellow workers, His servants working together. You are God's cultivated field, His garden, His vineyard, God's building. I mean, drop the mic right there. That's who you are. You're God's building. And Paul goes on and he says, according to the remarkable grace of God, which was given to me to prepare me for my task. Don't you love how Paul says, it's just only God, by God's remarkable grace. I mean, I look at the frailty and sometimes the fragility of who my soul says I am. And I have to get bigger in the spirit and look over at that soul that God redeemed and say, you have to come under the submission and the authority of God's word. You're not who you were. You're not going to be so married to your past that you can't divorce the past and get connected up to the future. You are going where God said you're going, girl. You're not who you were. You're not where you're from. You're who you are right now in God and where you're going. And I need you to live into that, because there's a generation that needs to see that God can take a girl from the drug room and put her on a platform and redeem her singleness and her past and turn her into a pure woman that can live an example out in front of a generation that is doing things that are destroying their future. And that happened because of God's remarkable grace. It happened because God is building me. I'm telling you today, church, God is about ready to start building your children. You may have failed in the past with your children, but because of the turn and the transition that you have made, because of the prayers that you are praying right now, because of the tenacity and the unwillingness to let go of your calling and your identity in Christ and your faith in Him, there is about to be a turnaround. I believe prodigals are about ready to return to the what we call the house of God, but to the community of faith, the true church, and they're going to find their place in it. Paul says, according to the remarkable grace of God, which was given to me to prepare me for my task, like a skillful master builder, I laid a foundation and now another is building on it. Pastor Simone and Shiny, one day you will build on the foundation that Ira Edward Chalk and the Reverend Alda Chalk laid for me. And you can even go back to Reverend Delphia Chalk, my grandmother, and go beyond that, because somebody influenced her. But there's a foundation that has been laid here, and someone else is going to build on it, and that's okay. God is raising up a whole nother generation that says, my ceiling is going to be your floor. And I'm not so insecure that I can't pass the baton of legacy onto you and breathe into the spirit and pray into the winds in your sail and tell you your greatness is about to be on display, but don't let your brilliance and your greatness become something that you take all the glory for. You wouldn't be here without the people that paid the price before you. You wouldn't be here if it weren't for God's grace on your life. So make sure that you build in such a way that it will last. He says, but each one must be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, look at that. You guys okay? Can you give me another couple minutes here? Gold, look at it, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. I'm going to be just blunt. If you're serving God for the gold, for the building, he said, I will give you the power to get wealth. I have treasure hidden that no one knows of. It is yours. It's yours as a righteous one. It's been laid up for you. God doesn't have a problem with the gold being in his house. Remember, you're his house. He wants you to have the treasure. He wants you to have the wealth. I believe it. I have a wealth mindset. I say it every day. I'm healthy, wealthy, wise, strong, filled with the Holy Ghost. I have everything I need to get the job done. I will never preach against kingdom wealth because I believe in it. And I believe we should steward it and we should be the best at it. But right now, during this whole COVID season, God is asking ministers, why are you doing what you're doing? He's asking Christians, why are you serving me? You know, many started blaming him. Well, if this is all I get as a Christian, then why am I even doing it? Why am I even walking faith? You got to get to the point where you're going to serve God whether gold's falling out of heaven or not. Right? You're still going to share your faith and be a testimony of God's power and his goodness. Whether the wood, you know, hay was something they used for some huts and buildings. And what Paul is saying here, no matter what the external structure has or no matter what is in it, what is your life built on? We're seeing churches, so-called buildings, communities shut down. Why? Because people didn't have the same level of income. So the tithing and everything that it took, the giving to sustain that particular work, it went away. And the sad thing is, ministers went away when the money went away. Some people left their faith in Christ when their business closed. I worked for years and years to get this building to where it is. It was my dream. Listen, dream a new dream with God. You're not married to the dream. You're married to the dream maker. Listen to Pastor Simone's song. Dream maker. I'm being real with you today. I'm talking to you from my heart. There's an unshakable faith that is emerging. It's being revealed in those who have held on through this last season. And, you know, things may get worse and may get better for you. I don't know what season you're going to go into, but I know that the climate, the governmental climate and the economic climate in which we're living in right now is going to require some people with some unshakable faith to say, I will serve God, I will witness, I will give, I will remain faithful to the one who gave me life, whether my house is made of wood, gold, silver, or hay. If it all burns up tomorrow, you're still going to find me as long as there is breath in my body, worshiping the God who gave me life. I will do it until I have it no longer. Here is our commendation. Each one's work will be clearly shown for what it is, for the day of judgment will disclose it because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality and character and worth of each person's work. If any person's work which he has built on this foundation, that is any outcome of his effort, remains and survives the test, which it will in Jesus' name, he will suffer the loss of his reward if it's burned up. He will receive a reward if it's not. He will suffer the loss of his reward if it's burned up, yet he himself will be saved. Here's the goodness of God. Everything you did, it'll all be burned up. There'll be no reward, but you'll be saved. Oh, my God. I'll take it. You're still going to be in heaven. I don't even know if you'll be bothered. There is no janky structures in heaven. I think the greatest reward is to be the closest to Jesus. I would live in a shack if I could be the closest one to him, because he is my reward. You'll be saved, but only as one who barely escaped through fire. Do you not know and understand that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you? Permanently, collectively, and individually. All of us together, you guys. Here we are. Simone used to always say this. She still does. Pastor Simone. Look at us. Here we are all together. All together. Oh, as a child, it always delighted her heart for us to all be together. Even if it was in the car and we were all, like, upset about something, she would always shift the mood by going, look at us. Here we are all together. God is looking for us right now to remain strong. He needs us to be that collective on the earth that knows how to all be together. Even though there's things going on in our life, there's some shaking going on, he is committed to what he's building. And he's building you. And I hope you know that my attempt is always to build you. It's never to bash you and beat you down. It is to build you up and tell you who you are and remind you who the foundation is in your life. It's not the president, thank God. If anyone destroys the temple of God, corrupting it with false doctrine, God will destroy the destroyer, for the temple of God is holy, it's sacred, and that is what you are. Put your hand on your heart and stand to your feet. I'm going to end it right there and say this. I am your building, Jesus. I am your temple. I will not give in to false doctrine, no matter where it's coming from. I am being built upon the rock-solid truth of your word. Fortify me. And help me to remain unshaken. I will serve you in a generation that needs to see you, the real Jesus. But I cannot do it apart from you. I declare that you are my Lord, and I am an unshakable one. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now, or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe, You could also share with your friends, click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.